Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam.
Hi.
Hey Ronnie, what's going on?
How are you?
Hi. Good, thanks. Well, here we are. Today we are 1 week away from the Golden Crappies. 7 days, final stretch. I think there are actually some seats that have been released and that are available. So go get your tickets, go to watchacrappens.com or follow the links on our social media. And if you can't be there or if there are no seats left, be sure to join us virtually with Kizwe. The link for the streaming is also on our website, the same place where you'd find the tickets for in person. It's going to be so much fun. And that replay is going to be available for 2 weeks after the show. If you are coming to the show, there's going to be a Patreon pre-party that we're really psyched about. So if you're a Patreon member, the information is going to be up on Patreon. I'm going to be posting it later today after we are done with our 10th recap of the week. Or 10th episode, I should say, which will be after Valley Persian Style. Anyway, and also tomorrow, we're currently recording in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
As we speak. We're in sunny, beautiful
Miami.
Parasail
right
now. That
is that what it's called when you're skiing on a balloon? There's like a big balloon behind you.
I think so.
Someone's up there. I think they're thin. Hi, thin person.
Do you have a view of the ocean? Yeah. I have a view of the other direction. And I have a view of the city from the other direction. So I don't
see
any parasailers.
I see buildings and air conditioners for one part, but then I see the ocean and somebody parasailing. Hi.
I like this. I like being in this beautiful weather and pretending like I get to participate in it.
I know, girl. You know I'm going.
But anyway,
outside.
Can't wait to recap Valley Persian Style later.
I was like, wow, it's such a nice ocean. And then I just recorded. I ain't going out there.
It's like, okay, well, let's recap.
You know what I see? I see gorgeous scenery and skin cancer. That's what I see out there. I will not be going out there. I have to go find a big straw hat or something. No, you're not tricking me, skin cancer. I'm not going out there.
It's really exciting because we're here for the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. It's basically BravoCon for chefs, and we went to this party last night, and it was like all these people from Top
crazy.
Chef were there. Like,
I mean, it's crazy. Like
Tristan,
enough
who won
just
last
going
season,
around and seeing people stand there, but seeing people who like listen to Watch What Crappens is crazy, and that we've been making fun of, and they have such a good sense of humor about it. And God, I love those ladies. I'm going to go find them tonight and just make them hang out with me all night. We saw Nini. We saw Sarah. Who else did we talk to? Oh my God, we saw
not Nini Leakes,
no,
by the
Nini
way,
from Top Chef, and we saw our Polish potato princess.
Sylvia.
Oh my God.
Sylvia.
Potato.
Mm-hmm.
I will make you something we made where I come from. Potato. And they're like, oh God. Another potato. I fucking love that lady. We're having so much fun. And then everywhere you walk, there's food.
Yeah, it was great. And there were just all these, there were just like so many Top Chef and Food Network people there. Like Bobby Flay was there with Brooke, Robert Irvine, and like a
they
million Top
Bobby,
Chef people.
Bobby
it's
Flay
like, oh, yeah,
does
there's that
dinners.
Person.
Was it? Here at the festival, they were telling us he does dinners and they're $10,000 a person to go to the dinner. I mean, what the hell? And it was taco night.
Tacos.
It was taco night. People were paying 10 grand a person to go to taco night with Bobby Flay. He looks better in person, Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. He looks great. He looks great. I think to be fair, I do think it was a charity thing. So it's all the money's going to a good cause.
Yeah, I still want more than a taco.
I think I want something more than tacos. I agree. But yeah, it's super fun. So they've got all these activities. So we're participating in this, there's like a podcast lineup on Saturday and we're the last podcast of the day. So we're going on at 2:15 and, we were originally going to do a crappy hour, but now we're starting to think maybe this would be the right place to do like a Top Chef cast preview.
I don't
preview.
Know. I just,
so,
it sounds funny, but also
but I don't
know,
know.
If these chefs have a sense of humor about themselves. I have to say,
it might be rough. Well, we can always go. Yeah, we can always
we'll
put it back.
It
but the point is this: we're not going to really know until maybe tomorrow morning. And the other point of it is that there's just all these fun food things going on. And instead, I'm going to be spending probably my entire day inside preparing.
Yeah, we've got
crappies. So excited!
I have lyrics to learn. Okay, I'm coming out for food, and then I'm coming back in here. But yeah, it is great being here.
I know.
So thanks for having us, people. South Beach Food and Wine Festival. And now let's get on to some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes, a very exciting episode of Beverly Hills. So we start in the Hamptons, and Rachel, we're still at Rachel's friend's house, and they're all hanging around, like Rachel and Dorit and Kyle and the friend and Rachel's sister. They're all just like hanging around the kitchen island, having like cool hot girl breakfast. And Rachel's like, oh my God, like it's like morning. It's like, this is like what I've been missing, like morning in the Hamptons. And Kyle's like, Rachel, you don't need those sunglasses on. You look really pretty without makeup on. I just want you to know. In fact, like when you put makeup on, it makes you look kind of like old and gross. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Oh my God, are you okay? She's like, because like I'm basically just heels and makeup. Like that's all I'm made out of. Like you could remove my head and my body and everything else and I would just be heels and makeup. Shut up.
I'm like literally a floating foundation. So then she's like, guys, today we're gonna go to Montauk's, and then after Montauk's we're gonna go Surf Lodge because I got some friends who are like playing at this band and like really excited. And I think I've mentioned the story on the podcast how at the top of the season, Spotify had a party and Rachel Zoe was there. So Courtney and I went up to Rachel Zoe, Courtney from Two Judgy Girls. We went up to Rachel Zoe because we're like, we have to. And we're like, hey, we just saw the Beverly Hills premiere. You were really good on it. She goes, thanks. I was like so vulnerable. Like, yeah. But she thought we were
so vulnerable.
I was like so vulnerable. Like I was like more vulnerable than I ever thought. And she's being really friendly. She was very friendly to us, but she also thought we were Bravo brass. Cause when we said that we podcast about Bravo, all she heard was we're from Bravo. So she's being really nice. And then we were like, no, at one point we realized this and she's like, so you guys work at Bravo? I'm like, no, we're podcasters. She goes, oh, cool. Oh, you know what's crazy? The song that's playing is this band. And they're like my friends. And they're like over there. It's just like crazy. Because like my friends are there. But the song's playing. But my friends are there. Like it's like
what are
crazy.
Your friends named?
My friends are over
they're
there.
They're named not podcasters. So.
Yeah. And she basically like left us. She went over to her friends. These guys were her friends on this episode. It was the same guy.
I'm sorry. Xander. But I have to go talk to Xander. He's 26. Oh, okay. Xander's not 26. Xander Scrotox is 26. What the hell are you trying to make me believe that man is 26? You all are so full of it.
Yeah, no, she was so nice to us, but it was also one of those things where, like, it was like our window, like, if we were Bravo executives, our window would have been a certain number of minutes, but podcasters only get this many. And I fully support that. Like, she should not have given us any more time, and we were on borrowed time. But I just thought, like, I loved her way of getting out of it.
I have friends.
This music, it's them. It's them.
They're over there.
It's there. It's like, bye. It's like crazy, but it's over there. I'm going to go say hi to them.
So Kyle's like, okay, that sounds great. I'm going to go get dressed and go for a run. And she's like, oh my God, you guys, I'm telling you what I'm not doing. Going for a run. Nailed that.
Oh, nailed Carl that. Just runs by. Hey guys, practicing for a marathon.
Want to meet up at Common Ground later? Let's go to Common
Ground. Let's get in the mix. Get in the mix in Common Ground. Come on, run, Rachel, run.
So now we're back in Beverly Hills and at Amanda's house, and she's going over childcare with Eddie. And she's like, so I'm going to take the babies to Newport, and you're taking the big kids camping, right? And then school starts Thursday. Guys, like 5 years ago, my life was all about business and making money, and I'm still about those things. But now, family trumps that. I'm really all about the Trump family now.
Did that sound wrong? Someone sent me a clip. Amanda was on Selling Sunset.
Oh yeah, we covered that, didn't we? That season.
I think we did cover that season. I definitely watched that season,
Patreon,
but we didn't know.
I think, or somewhere.
Yeah, but we didn't know that. Of course, at that time, that was Amanda Francis, but she played this super annoying buyer or seller who like was making all of their lives hell, and I was like, perfect.
Yeah, she was terrible. That's perfect. She was against Vanita. No, not Vanita. What's the girl's name on there?
No.
Vina.
I love her.
Vuna.
No.
Vana.
I thought her name starts with
Davina.
She was like the one that doesn't fit in.
Davina. Close. Davina. Guys. Not Vanita, but Davina. Vanita, Davida. Davida, Vanita. Okay. Everybody meet each other.
Danny DeVito. She was against Danny DeVito.
Her client was Danny DeVito. So her client was Vanita. And she was firing her. She's like, yeah, I just don't like what you did. And she's like, oh my God, you gave me this listing. You're fucking me around. You won't let me do any ads on this listing. She's like, yeah, but I don't really like how you're handling it. She was terrible on there. She was, and you're making us root for Davina. Who roots for Davina on that show?
Us.
I mean,
me.
Yeah, we love Davina.
I love Davina.
Yeah. She really got the raw end of the stick.
Always. Did she ever sell that mansion?
It was like 90s.
God, I miss that show. I really fell off that show, and I used to always love it. And I guess the rumors are that Christine's coming back. That's what I read in the gossip mill a few weeks ago.
Really?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, anywho, Amanda's, she's talking to Eddie, her husband, and he's like, oh, so how'd you feel about that dinner? She goes, well, if I'd offered manifestation journaling exercises for free, anyone I know would jump at that. And like, it's not, yeah, I'm manifesting that right now. Even if they wouldn't, I just manifested that they jump now. Yeah,
no,
jump,
stop jump, acting jump, like you're cross. Giving everybody the biggest gift in the world by offering your free manifestation class. You told them to open up a journal and write a goal down. Give me a fucking break. That's free anyway, Amanda. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people are paying you $45,000 for that is ridiculous. Please give me a break. Anybody else would be so grateful. No, we all have our own journals, Amanda. Okay? Give me something else. I don't need your straw with your fucking manifestation shit on. I don't want to drink your manifestations.
Yeah. So then we see a flashback to the dinner party where everyone's like, what do I do here? Huh? You want us to write this down? Okay.
That was pretty funny.
So then Amanda's like,
what? Manifestation? What a ridiculous idea. I'm supposed to write down a goal? How stupid.
Yeah. So Amanda's like, I just thought that it would be a fun opportunity for the women to learn more about me, but they don't really take me seriously. And she's saying that they don't take her seriously as she is speaking over her dress that looks like a series of nested muffin wrappers. And so, like, and it's so funny because these ruffles over her chest are so big that she can't fit her arm around it. Her arm has to stick out like a marionette. Just
I know,
to
gesticulate. It's like she's playing Grimace. It's like she's hired to be Grimace at the McDonald's. It's just trying to move her arms like, high five, Grimace. I knew you couldn't do it, loser.
Like, she is going to have some great shoulders after this because she is holding up that elbow the entire time to get around the ruffles to gesture. So Amanda's like, yeah, they just like didn't show up. Like they didn't show the fuck up for the event. And Eddie's like, well, that's annoying. I mean, talk about someone who's not showing up is this guy. Are you awake yet, sir?
It's like, yeah, it's really annoying. So then we go to Will Rogers Memorial Park. And Bo's meets Sutton. This is very Salt Lake City. They're like, and they do this on Beverly Hills sometimes too, where they're like, let's have an outdoor scene in a park. They're like, why are we at the park? Mm-hmm. Sutton's disgusted by it. She's like, could we not find a restaurant to shoot in? Because I've never been here. I pass it, but I've never been here before on purpose. Because who walks around a park?
Be careful what you wish for, Sutton, because later in the episode, you're going to wind up at a restaurant on Fairfax Avenue. You know, she's like, Fairfax.
What happened to that place? What happened to Fairfax? I used to work on Fairfax in the golden days. Back in the golden days of Fairfax. I went there recently. I was like, what the hell happened here? It was economy bomb.
I know.
Happened there.
And the restaurant that they go to is the one that's like attached. It used to be Pitfire Pizza. The one that's attached to basically Pop's Bagels and a coffee commissary. And I just, the idea of sending Sutton there. I mean, I'm over there all the time. I'm always going to Pop's Bagels. But Sutton, I just can't imagine Sutton going to that little strip mall, like across the street from like the traffic median that has overgrown dry grass on it. She's probably like, what is this disgusting boulevard that you sent me to? So now, but now they're in the park. If I may be wrong, but it looked like it's that park in Beverly Hills that you drive by on Santa Monica Boulevard.
That's what I thought it was too. I was like, why are they having them shoot by the Beverly Hills sign?
The most touristy park.
I thought so too. But Will Rogers, I think, is further west. But anyway, who knows? So they see this like time capsule. There's like a statue with the time capsule. And Bose is like, oh, this time capsule's not supposed to be open until the year 2114. It's like, well, we're not going to see that. We're going to be dead. I'll tell you this much. Sutton Strack's already dead. And Sutton Brown going to be dead too. She's going to be dead.
Going to be dead. I have an announcement. The park, it is not the park that has the big Beverly Hills sign that we're used to on Santa Monica Boulevard. The Will Rogers Memorial Park is actually across from the Beverly Hills Hotel. It's one of the corners of that hellacious intersection where there are six roads that come together and only stop signs.
That is a little,
I was thinking of, no, that's that. it that Will Rogers Memorial Park is bounded by Sunset Boulevard and Benedict Canyon and Beverly Drive and whatever. The park I was initially thinking of was the one that's along Santa Monica Boulevard, across from like the Golden Triangle of Beverly Hills. And yes, the answer is yes. When you live in Los Angeles, this is what you talk about. People say, oh, people in LA only talk about traffic roads. And the
it's a big part of life.
Because it's thrilling.
It's a big part of life.
It's thrilling for us. But,
because, you know, the reason is because we have to park everywhere, too. So we all know that park because if you ever go to a street festival or something there, and then it sounds fun and it's cheap and they've got really good vendors and stuff, and then you have to fucking park. And so you know those streets very, very well. You've been traumatized. That's why. So, okay.
What do you think? What do you think that time capsule, by the way, that they buried in 1914?
That's what's in the time capsule. They're like, I tried to park here in the early 2000s, and now look.
they are probably like, well, this message is for Delilah. I hope I love her so much, and I hope the city that springs up around her is full of good, Christian, God-fearing people. It's like, congratulations, you're in Los Angeles, and we're all heathens.
Back when Los Angeles had morals. So Bose is, Sutton's like, well, maybe we can manifest something, and then we can find out what's in that time capsule by manifesting it. You know, it was kind of a clunky entrance into gossip, but Bose is like, oh my God, not the manifesting. I've noticed a stark difference between Sutton and Sutton. You know, Sutton last year was Sutton Strack. What a bitch. Sutton Brown, still very squinty-eyed. Looks at everything very judgmentally, but she doesn't say it. So that's great. I like it. I'm desperately trying to forget Sutton Strack because Sutton Brown, I like. No, Sutton Brown's boring. Get rid of Sutton Brown. I want Sutton Strack.
Yeah. Sutton Strack, are you still here with us? Blink twice if you can. We know you can because you have just announced that you haven't done Botox
Please
or anything.
Please say this is just so one season where you're pretending to be sober because nobody needs this long term.
Yeah. Yeah, let's. This is what, you know, housewives do this, and it's always the worst thing that they can do. They always think that if they have, you know, a season where they don't drink as much and they work on themselves, that this will quiet the critics. But actually, all it does is get you fired.
Yeah. It makes people root for alcoholism. I mean, if you're trying to like send out a good message, this isn't the way to do it. You know, this isn't going to get anyone to quit drinking. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to look at this and be like, I don't want to turn into Sutton Brown.
Mm-hmm. No. I don't. So Sutton says, how do you manifest living forever? That's what I want to know. Well, here's the thing. What she's doing is mostly telling people how to manifest money by taking their money. And Sutton gives a look like, you said it, not me, sister.
Sutton Brown would never say that, but Sutton Brown will squint and smile at it. I liked it. Sutton Brown liked that.
Sutton Strack would rub her face right now.
And
Bose
is like, well, it was cute to see your children. Let's, you know, let's point out that she does have good qualities, and those are the things that crawled out of her. Okay. And
so, oh, my God. Yes, the children. Those were adorable, especially that real big, tall child. Oh, he was so cute. That was her husband. Oh. Okay. Well.
The house is beautiful. We can say that, you know, if you're really into farmhouse, modern, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's funny because she had to say, like, you know.
Wait, sorry. I love the silent 3-2-1 from, like, we've given our perfunctory, friendly comments, and now, but
yeah,
it's funny, though.
They're like, well, let's look at the positive aspects. She has procreated, so that's good.
Well, and she lives someplace. She has a house, so that's good. But, you know, it's a beautiful house. But it's funny, though, because she has to say it like it has 19 bedrooms and 86 bathrooms, like it always has, okay? So you didn't hear me doing that. People came over to my house. I didn't say when I lived in that house, I didn't say it's got 86 bathrooms on me. I mean, Sunstrack would have, right?
Yeah. Sun's basically like, I live here, bitch. I know how many rooms there are. And we see a flashback of Amanda being like, oh, my God, like, we just renovated, like, 8 bedrooms and, like, 9 bathrooms. So I've, like, literally done 17 rooms. Wow. So Bo's like, well, she doesn't need to quantify her money in order to fit in with the group. All she has to do is take her skin and tie it to the back of her head, and then she'll fit in just fine. Quite literally.
Amanda wants to prove how far she's come from her childhood beginnings. And a lot of us have come from humble beginnings. But it's not about showing what you've accumulated. It's about showing the journey. The journey. I have more respect for the journey than I do the destination.
Yes. You know, Kyle came from very humble beginnings. You know, she used to live on a prairie, and then she was haunted by a dead maid wound up being a nurse in the ER. I mean, she's really been through so much. She had bangs.
That was the roughest. We actually saw a clip of that today.
Yeah.
They showed a clip where
a lot of bangs, flashbacks.
Kyle had bangs. And so they're like, remember the fun times when Kyle had bangs?
Humble beginnings. So Bose is like, well, I don't know if she feels like, oh, I've got a beautiful home, this amazing relationship, these beautiful kids, a booming business, so you can't tell me anything. You're not gonna make it very far that way, you know? And so I was like, well, she has got to understand that I'm gonna manifest her getting a brain in her head. Well, she has to, because she has to do that, otherwise she'll never fit in. So Sutton says, we are all trying to help Amanda. But the problem is she thinks she knows better. And so the old adage is true. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, okay? And she's refusing to drink. That horse is just journaling on the side of the river asking for water when the water's not there.
That horse is actually making a good life decision for itself. And hopefully, now that horse won't be called an alcoholic on Twitter anymore. You know, sometimes the horse just has to say, I don't need to drink. My last name is Brown now. Hey, you're in my house. Please don't call me a horse.
I know. Guys.
You know Amanda's going to
So Amanda tells Eddie.
And she's going to be like, you called me a horse though, son, and that really hurt me.
So now I'm a horse, and I'd like to ask to draw a boundary around that because I would prefer not to be called a horse.
All I did was show you manifestation, and now you call me a horse?
I mean, a horse is a horse, of course, of course. And I have a course about that, by the way.
Of course, of course. So, and never before has a horse, of course, and never had a horse, and something, Mr. Ed. I used to know that song.
No. No, it's a horse is a horse, of course, and a horse is takes a course, of course. And if a horse wants money, that's why you call it manifested.
Well, I don't know if she wants to feel like, wow, what's she doing? She's got to listen.
Sutton's like, yeah, we're trying to help her. So then we go to Amanda's house, and she's still talking to Eddie. And she's like, well, I mean, the salad course is barely on the table. And already I have to hear how it's like my fault that Dorit and Kyle had that exchange at dinner. Like, it's my fault. And he's like, oh, my God, they still want to talk about the Dorit bullshit? Oh, my God, read those bitches for filth.
No, Kyle had a really strong opinion about Dorit talking about her ex, and I said like one thing about it at one dinner party, you know, like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, there were times after my breakup where I didn't want to hear about it, and I just didn't want to hear other people's opinions about it, and I just didn't want to hear any of it. And Amanda looks at him like, are you backing me up right now?
Because it sort
of
sounds like you're I really not. Wanted them to just leave the cameras rolling and see what the reaction was, because you know that it was like satanic eyes coming from Amanda, like beams at him. Like, really? This is when you're going to bring up your divorce right now to stand up for Dorit? Really?
Really? You're not getting your allowance this week.
If I could have clearance over these ruffles, I would slap you. So Amanda says, you know, Eddie has been through a divorce with young children involved, and he's a very compassionate and non-judgmental and sort of non-awake person. And even with that in mind, I don't think that what I said warrants this level of scrutiny. He's like, well, you just don't know each other yet, and maybe she's, like, intimidated because you're younger. Oh, because I'm young and successful and I'm not financially dependent on a man, and she outsourced her financial well-being to a man, and that didn't go so well.
This was so good. And we saw this in the trailer, but I just love this. This needs to be memorized and said forever. It's like the most iconic thing Amanda did was that line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm young.
It was great.
Because I'm young and successful and I'm not financially dependent on a man, and she outsourced her financial well-being to a man, and that didn't go well.
I feel like Ariana did that once on Vanderpump Rules. I just can't remember what it was. She said that about Stassi. She said
this
something like
very,
that about Stassi.
Erica Jane's like,
well, great. Beglis came, then Tom was blind, then his car rolled down a hill.
Whatever that whole thing was. So Eddie's like, well, if that was her decision instead of being independent, then yeah, that's on her. I mean, you know, girls got to choose. You know what I mean? Baby, you're a firework. Come on, let your colors burst. Seriously.
Eddie, have you ever seen a plastic bag before?
You can take a firework to the 4th of July, but you can't Katy Perry that bitch to life. You know what I mean? Someone's got to light it.
You can take a firework to your chest, but you can't light your bra on. Can't make them light their own bra. You know what I'm trying to say. I'm going to stop now. Anyway, why does Dorit care about my opinion? If she's so sure that this is her path, then do your thing. Fuck up your life. Whatever.
Yeah, but the same thing goes for you, Amanda. You shouldn't care either. You should be like, yeah, I did say it. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Sorry. It's like you care too much.
So
now we go back to the Hamptons, and we're at Rachel's friend's house, and they're sitting by the pool and stuff. And Kyle is calling. She's FaceTiming
Erica Girardi. Oh, well, you missed Amanda's dinner party. Of course, the conversation turned into what happened at the dinner the night between you, Dorit, and Amanda. And Sutton told her, listen, you need to say what you said. It's your own opinion. Stop referring to Kyle because you caused a fight between Dorit and Kyle. I don't know. Are you upset, Kyle? You really upset? Everybody's very upset, bunch of women. Goddamn women.
Well, as someone who met Donna Karan last night and got invited to hang out with Donna Karan in Malibu, I just want to say this. what I think is confusing for Amanda is that, like, everyone's like, you have to have your own opinion. And yet she may be thinking, here I am voicing my opinion. And everyone's like, why were you talking about Dorit's marriage? And, like, pick a fucking lane. Like, I'm going to choose the lane that takes me to Malibu, to Donna Karan's house. Am I right, guys? Because I'm hanging out with Rachel's. I'm, like, in a new crowd now. Anyway, she's allowed to have an opinion. She didn't say anything horrible, guys.
Wow. Amanda's a great, great person. But you know what? Amanda is fighting Kyle's dragon. So Kyle's going to be on her side no matter what, which I think is pretty funny. Although Kyle does kind of have a point. They're really harping on this. Everybody was talking about it. Everybody was like, yeah, Dorit.
I think it's all of the above. I think, first of all, yes, everyone's talking about it. Second of all, I do think it was largely Kyle who was leading it. And I do think that Amanda was largely just agreeing. But Amanda did have an opinion. But I don't think, like, I actually don't think Amanda's opinion was, like, the worst thing in the world. And you're on a reality show. Kyle's actually right. You know what? Kyle's actually right. You're allowed to say what you want to say about things and have opinions about things. And there will come a time when Dorit's going to have an opinion about something. And she's not going to want to be told, like, don't have an opinion. She'll be like, oh, in fact, she actually did it last week. She was like, am I allowed to speak? Am I allowed to speak? Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to speak around Kyle.
Look at my lips. Look, you know, at my lips. They're closed.
Whole, mm-hmm. She did a whole Beetlejuice bit.
Closed lips right now, Kyle. Mm.
But that being said, I mean, Amanda sucks, but...
Well, it's just funny because Kyle's still, like, sticking up for the suckiest person of the cast because they're going for who Kyle wants, you know? So she's like, yeah, of course. Yes. That's great. Meanwhile, if this was Kyle's her very happy, or her way, girlfriend...
Yeah, I was, you know, just about to say
someone
that.
Someone said it.
Just about Kyle to say it.
Like, how dare you? Can I have a little privacy? How could you do this? You can't do this to the LGBTQ+ community.
Kyle's like, unless you gathered everyone around before we started shooting for the season and told them they're not allowed to bring up people in your like romantic sphere, then sure, you're allowed to have, like, an opinion. Amanda, yeah. But if you didn't tell them ahead of time.
Amanda can talk about Dorit's husband. It's not like she's married to a country star.
So Erica's like, well, I'm going to dinner tonight with Sutton and Denise. Should be a pretty light, fun-hearted, fun time. Runs on Fairfax Avenue, though. Gosh, can't wait to see Sutton's reaction to that. Kyle's like, oh, wow. Yeah, I texted Denise. I was like, are you in the Hamptons, too? Oh, is that just me? She didn't really get a response to me, but I can't believe what she's going through. So then we see real-life headlines, which are not funny at all. That we've all heard about and seen about the abuse that Denise has been enduring from that asshole that Aaron Fipers.
Fucking monster, Aaron Fipers. And see the Denise Richards accuses husband Aaron Fipers of violently choking and threatening to kill her in a restraining order. So Erica's like,
I'm sure I'll get us an update. Don't worry, Kyle. But you know what? The most important thing is that you're feeling things and that you sent her a text. That's what's important.
Yeah, you sent her a text. That's what matters. So Erica's like, you know, she's saying she feels really bad for Denise because it's just a chaotic place to be in. And how last year, basically, Erica met up with Denise last year and they both decided, you know what? Like, let's leave the past in the past. Let's just, like, move forward. So Erica's like, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you and giving you a big old hug. And Kyle's like, say hello to her. Say hello to her for me. He's like, I will. I'm talking about Donna Karan because we're, like, friends now. Who are you talking about?
And Erica's like, well, you know, there's that clip going around of him squeezing her hand and stuff. And, you know, I knew I didn't like how he was talking to me and Teddy.
And so we see the clip of when she and Teddy were coming for him. Wasn't that at, like, the Sutton opening or whatever? And
yeah, this is when Kyle had her bangs.
Yes, this is the bangs phone call.
And he's like, oh, really? You want to start that with me? Oh, really? Oh, really?
Oh, God, I can't wait to see that.
What
man.
A dick.
Without a home. Mm-hmm. We need an eviction cam on that man at all. And his parents. And his fucking parents, too. We're like, how could you kick us out of the house? We deserve this house in Malibu. We take care of the dogs. Get the fuck out of here, both of you. You raise that fucker. All of you get out.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now it's a little bit later in the Hamptons. It's time to get some glam on. Makeup. That's all I am. Makeup and
guys,
glasses.
Guys, guess what it is?
Heels, makeup, glasses.
It's girls' night.
Yeah. So much drama is about to happen. So they're getting ready and they get in the car and Rachel's like, girls' night. Cause like, girls' night. I'm so glad I didn't wear my like horse outfit that I was gonna wear because it was like a lace skirt and then but had like a G-string and like it shows your entire butt cheeks. It'd been like crazy, right, guys?
Wow, Kyle, that's something I haven't seen you in. So that would have been great. I wanna see Kyle be the Kyle that I always heard Kyle was. Like, not with a bonnet or, like, scrubs. The one that was always doing the splits. I was like, oh, God. We don't see the splits enough. Now we have to get a montage of the splits. And then we get bangs doing splits.
Yeah. No one has literally requested Kyle to do the splits or do her ponytail thing ever, except for Rachel Zoe. Rachel Zoe, oddly fascinated by Kyle's splits. Please Don't ask for things you
remember when Kyle was fine.
Please don't. Oh my God. Yes. So they get to the surf lodge and they see the owner and Rachel's like, oh my God, I haven't seen you since Aspen. Oh my God. It's so good to see you.
I'm going to just start saying that to people. We'll see how they react. Oh my God. So good to see you. I haven't seen you since Aspen.
Yeah, it's like amazing. Like, oh my God, it's been so long since I've been in Aspen. All my friends are in Aspen. Oh my God, I'm definitely not wallowing in this separation. I've been out probably for like the better part of the last year. I've like traveled and I've danced more than I've danced in the last 10 years. Like I'm literally dead. My legs are dead from dancing, dancing in the death, death dance. Death becomes her and her is my legs.
I just love the idea of Rachel being such a dance addict when she's basically in a feathered caftan every time we see it. It's like, what is it just like a windsock? Is that what it looks like?
Yeah, she's just swaying. She's basically like streamers on a tree.
Yeah, I'm not wallowing in the separation. By the way, it's the fifth time I've mentioned it in this episode. And Dorit's like,
well, it's been a long, long time since I've been out and living loose, dancing with the ghouls. But during my single days in New York City, the sun would be coming up and I'd be walking back to my apartment. Ooh, those days.
I'm just having visions of Dorit circa the year 2000 in Manhattan going to clubs and like the song Blue comes on. She's like, this is my jam. It's blue. Da boo dee da boo da. Da boo dee da boo da.
One day I want to marry a man who turns this color when it gets below 50 degrees outside.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to throw me around. That's the song that Pringles cans sing to PK.
So they're kind of standing around, you know, listening to music. And Kyle's like, oh, my God, I do not remember the last time Dorit and I would go out and have fun like this. It was crazy. Play the splits montage again. Do it again.
This is like so fun. And we also see Rachel. She's like, guys, this is my friend. His name is Xander. Like, of course, Rachel knows someone named Xander who's in the band. He's in the band. Xander. Yeah.
He's 26. Hey, Xander.
Yeah. He's young. Hey, Xander. Xander, love your hat. You're such a musician. You're so cool. I've could like dance for months and months to your music, Xander. Oh, my God. Love. You know, most people call him Xander. I just call him Xan. Just because it's like I know I'm like a little bit better than most people. So we're just like Xan.
If we ever make out, I'm going to just start calling him Zah. We're going to be so close.
Zah.
It's going to be like.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's just, yeah. I'm like, hey, Zah. Zah. Yeah, he's just like so, he's like so musical, but he's like really deep. Wait, I think his music's like playing right now, but he's like right there. It's like crazy.
Xan, I wanted you to meet my friends. They're not podcast people. You can talk to them.
Yeah.
So then we go back to Beverly Hills, yeah, and Bose is going for a walk with Lael. And they're talking about how Lael is supposed to be getting a job.
Lael, please don't leave me, Lael. What am I going to do without you?
So they start talking about how she needs a job, and she's like, no, I'm not doing it. Everything's hard. It's junior year. She's like, you know what? Everyone says junior year's hard. That's just their opinion. For you, junior year could be the most amazing year of all time. Stop being negative about the junior year. This is your journey. Write it down in a journal. Just kidding. That's stupid.
You know, they're not called senior mints. They're called junior mints. It's a great time of year. So Bose says that for 16 years, Lael has been right by my side. I have to watch, have a watch on her for 24 hours a day because I'm tracking that child, okay? When she leaves, I'll still be able to track her. Thank you, technology. But I won't be able to check in on her and see her face and body language. I just have to believe whatever she tells me, and I don't know how to deal with that. I need to lay eyes on my girls. I need to see Lael.
So, you know, it's like the typical, no, oh, you're going away to college. I'm going to be so sad. So Bose is like, well, I'm trying to get your replacement here, but it's a little difficult. And so they'd start talking about the egg therapy and all this IVF therapy, egg therapy. I asked my eggs this morning. I said, how are you doing? They said, I'm feeling scrambled.
They said, I'm feeling...
I was like, calm down, eggs. Calm down, eggs.
Sunny side.
Yeah, so they're talking about her IVF journey. And yeah, she's like, you know, I don't know, you know, if I should get an egg donor or what I should do. And she says, you know, she has a newfound respect for people who go through IVF multiple times because it's hard. You know, it's a lot of hard work. And so Lael's like, you've been a great mother to me, and I would love somebody else to be able to experience that. And she's like, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You can keep the car for another month.
You did it. So now we go to Amanda's house, and Erica shows up. And Amanda just has, like, the front door open, and Erica's like, well, this doesn't seem very safe. Okay, I'm going to come on in. So she comes in, and Amanda's like, hi. And then Amanda does this thing where she sort of, like, closes the door most of the way, but not all the way. So then Erica closes it the rest of the way. And I was like, I just kept on thinking about this. Was Amanda just trying to have the door open? And was Erica like, no, but you're going to close your door? Or was she like, I can only push the door this hard. Far. I need someone to help me.
I manifested that door closing, and now it's closed.
Yeah, I was like, why are you?
I think it was for, like, production.
Collaborating on this.
Like, you're supposed to leave it open so production can follow her in or whatever. And Erica's like, fuck production. What have they ever helped me?
It's called realism, okay? I'm closing it for you.
I'm a thespian.
Dumb bitch.
A method. Close the door.
So she comes in and she's like, oh, I'm giving you coffee, but, like, I'm going to do it in my promotional cup. And yours says, money is my mood. And Erica's like, perfect. Love it. Yeah. Money is my mood. And Dick's my mood. You got one that says, Dick is my mood.
Here's the thing with Erica, and I'm going to speak in an extra baby voice about this. She's someone I thought I'd never understand or, like, get along with, but every time I talk to Erica, I like her more. She's interested in my business and my thoughts about manifestation. I like this woman. I'm like, I guarantee Erica fucking hates you. I'm telling you that right now.
Shit about your manifestation business. And if anybody knows about manifestation, it's Erica. If anybody needs lessons on manifestation, that's who to ask. Erica was, like, on the down and out, met Tom, like, lived this life on private jets in a mansion with a church in it. Okay? Now, she got sick of Tom. Now look where Tom is. He's in jail. Now, sure, Erica's not doing great right now, but she's sure come up a long way since she was, you know, on her down and outs this last time. She's doing just fine. I mean, listen, I'm not Erica's biggest fan, but if I'm going to learn to manifest from anyone, it's her.
Yeah, she's scrappy. So
Erica steps over. There's all these toys on the ground, and they're going outside, and Erica just sees all the toys, and she's like,
oh, Jesus, this place is fucked up, kids. Fucking kids. Disgusting.
All right, dum-dum. How'd you feel about last night?
I mean, I felt good in moments. Like, by the way, also, Erica having to go right back to Amanda's house the next day. Jeez, can you meet at a coffee shop?
And drinking a cup that says money is my mood.
Yeah, I mean, that's a schlep to go from Hancock Park up to wherever they are in the hills. Are they losing all their filming permits? Because
we've seen them film in a park today. We saw them film, like, Bose was just, like, was she at the LA River? Where was she?
She was off of Sunset across the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Ben, run your maps.
According to the data, they were at the Will Rogers Memorial Park. Erica's like, so how did you feel about last night? I'll tell you how I felt. Stupid. What a waste of time. Am I right? Should I write that in my journal? And she's like, well, I felt good in moments. Well, my best advice to you, and you can tell me to fuck off, because I'm not really listening to whatever the fuck you say, is that, you know, if you say something, say it right away. Okay? So say something right now.
I hear you. So like, own it quickly is what you're saying. Yeah, well, listen, I had a hard time in this group. I also had a really hard time last night because I had to sit on a dining bench. You know what that's like. So now listen, my personal life was so turned upside down. There was a lot of judgment about it. And she's like, oh my God, from people who've known you for a really long time. Yeah, I mean, you know, suddenly everybody cares about orphans and burn victims. I mean, bunch of bitches. You know, it didn't feel good. And it's an odd thing to be vulnerable and open and say you don't give a fuck about anybody but yourself. But I did it, and I feel much better now. Do that.
And also, while you're at it, tell us about the cult. So Erica's like, I mean, she told us she was in the cult, and she opened up this line of conversation and questioning. So, like, how bad was it? What was it about? How'd you get in? How'd you get out? Are there any hot guys in there? Do they have money? Let me know.
Did you have to put a flashback where, or a symbol on your vagina? Just let us know.
Yeah, and by the way, for the record, Amanda did not open up this line of questioning. It was Dorit who's like, why are you having a hard time with this conversation? You were in a cult. Or whatever that she said. That was like a non sequitur.
So she's like, okay, you want to know about the cult from the beginning? Okay. Yeah, it's like a later, talk behind your back. Go ahead, tell me everything. So Erica's like, I mean, this is new for me. I've known a lot of people, all right? Well, I've not known a lot of people in a cult. Well, that's not true. I did know one person in that Nexium thing. But, you know, whatever. That's passé. I need a new cult. Who doesn't?
So she's like, "What? Tell me about the cult." So Amanda's like, well, when I was in high school, I was in a youth group.
Oh, wait. So what was it, like Christian or something? Or were you just dating young people? Was this like twink-centric or expand?
No, my parents are not religious, but I was in a very religious community, so I chose religion, essentially. And growing up in the literal buckle of the Bible Belt, in a family that wasn't religious, I was always curious about God, and I loved going to church with my friends, and I was kind of exploring what religion was to me, and I don't think that was a bad thing for me.
Okay, get to the cult part. Get to the cult part.
When you started fucking twinks? Get to that part.
When were you? When did you start wearing white robes and putting on sneakers and waiting for a spaceship?
Was Tom Cruise there? Did you have to have sex with him and Nicole Kidman wearing masks that look like crows? Yes or no?
Well, my youth group was in Oklahoma, but the founder started a church in Florida, and a lot of us followed him. And the longer we were there, the more controlling he got. He started telling us who to marry, who to date, who to be friends with. And Erica's like, get out of town! No, that's what I did. I moved to Florida. Oh, no, it was an expression, but that's fine.
Well,
I'd just like to say,
I've never been so sad after hearing a story. I mean, Oklahoma, Florida, just fucking kill me.
Why do cults always go to those places? Why can't they go someplace cool? Like, I don't know, the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
So Amanda's like saying that the church was trying to isolate her from her family, and that she mentioned to the pastor that she had talked to her sister, and he was like, wow, like you would make your sister think that being with Jesus is not the greatest life imaginable. Why would you talk to your sister? So this guy would like isolate her from her family.
I mean, I grew up in a very, you know, I've talked about it here before. I won't go on forever. Don't worry. But I grew up in a very, very like, I mean, my first school was called Jesus Chapel. And I mean, that's just how I grew up in like a crazy religious, you know, there's like different levels of religion, right? Especially Christianity. And I think I grew up in one of the crazier one with my meemaw talking tongues over dinner and stuff. I've told you about that. So to me, I'm just like, so you went to church? I need more. I need more from a cult story than you went to like a crazy church with a controlling preacher. Because, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm fucked up. Maybe I was in a cult. I don't know. But I needed more from this story. This has been a lot of build up. And I was like, so you went to church. Did you have to make like scenes about Moses or like did you ever have to make like an ark scene, but like with cutout felt? Cause I did.
Wow. It's very culty.
Very culty. So she's like, yeah, I was isolated and I was controlled and I was cut off. And Erica's like, ooh, sounds good. So the twinks. And she's like, well, you know, like we had to pay money to the church too, which is how churches work, you know, because tithing and stuff. And so Erica's like, yeah, so you were financially isolated. She's like, yeah. So she was saying that she didn't want to get in trouble with the pastor being caught talking to her family and stuff. And so that's why it was a cult, basically, because they were trying to separate her from her family. So on Halloween in 2008, she went to church. She volunteered so everything would seem normal. And then she drove to her sister's house in Orlando.
Yeah. And she's like, and after I left, the pastor called me with some rage and anger and was like definitely directed towards me. And he said not to contact anyone from the church because they looked up to me and might be influenced by me leaving. And I said, I'm never going to be in a cult again, but I will charge people thousands of dollars to learn how to manifest in a journal.
But I will financially isolate some bees. You know, she's like, I did learn
some financial lessons from it.
I went to this church, they wanted money from me, and they tried to control me, and I learned everything that I could from them, and I moved on. Thank you. That's my cult story.
Thank you. So she's like, after that, I just wanted to make something of myself and my life. So I planned to get my degree. I made my own money and I decided to help people by taking their money and then telling them that's
charging them $500 for mugs that say I'm in a money state of mind or whatever. And Erica's like, well, this is the story we need. That's what the group needs to hear about you, especially the part about you fucking all the twinks. Wait, I never said, I love that part. Yo, youth groups, sign me up.
So back at the Surf Lodge with Zand, the women are now sitting at a table.
Like somebody who doesn't know Zan.
Zan. Zan. Dorit, like, hasn't been in an environment like this. And how long, Dorit, when was the last time you were in, like, a super cool party with, like, young people just, like, dancing the night away? Just, like, cool and hip, like me. Like,
oh my
when
God.
Was the last time?
It's been decades. Seriously, Dicardi's.
Guy's like, oh my God. Oh, well, this night has just begun, ladies.
Yeah, we're going to be doing splits all over that stage when we're done with dinner. So they order food and everything. And then Zan and his friend with a bouffant arrives and they like sit at the table. It's like, oh my God, like cool people are at the table right now, guys.
Are you from Los Angeles?
He's like, no, I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, in East Coast. I'm in East Coast all day long. I've been to the East Coast of every country on the planet.
Yeah, that's cool. Can I get a cocktail?
Oh. Yes, of course. Yes. Ooh. Let me bat my eyes at you a little bit more so you see that it's an attractive woman right here in front
I
of
love
you.
When young men come and ask us for cocktails. Woohoo, the world has changed in such a lovely way, isn't it?
You know, it's funny because, like, when I look at our friend group, like, Dorit really is the one who flirts the most. Like, she likes to tease them and then, like, we'll meet someone and talk to her off. Like, surprise, what a flirt, right? I'm like, I don't know, Kyle. I saw that music video with you and Morgan.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So she's like, oh, so how old are you guys? And he's like, 26.
Lies. Sorry. I was just sitting here like, lies.
They're all lying here. They're all lying. He's like, 26.
20, that's a 2 at the beginning of that, right? It's like, yeah. And then he goes, no, I'm 40.
Oh, I didn't
and
hear
then Rachel's
this part.
Like, oh, 40.
You know, I was like, I'm so glad we have notes because I was like, this man is such a liar. I don't know why I was so mad. I think I was mad because I just haven't found whatever Botox he uses because I was like, that's amazing if he's 26.
Yeah, Zan doesn't really give out his Botox to anyone. Okay,
he just sort of like, actually, I'm 40. And Rachel's like, oh my God, same age as us. You guys, I have a story.
Rachel.
I have a story. This is so good. So I went to an Oscar party last year, and there was this guy, and he asked me for my number. And I was like, how old are you? And he was like, 26. And I was like, same.
Yeah. I was like, I turn 27 next month. I cannot. We just, like, laughed. Because, like, being a fellow elder millennial, he's just, like, gets my humor, right?
So, guys, I saw this thing on my feed about Erica. I texted her. I'm worried about her. That's what we do in the show. When we're worried, when we're super worried about people, we text them. And so we see the headline, Erica Jane headed to trial over $25 million spent during Tom Girardi marriage. And Dorit's like, wait, I don't understand.
And Kai goes, well, she's headed to trial. And what do they think they're going to get, like $25 million from her back? I mean, she doesn't even have that. I mean, hello, she lives in a small $5 million home in Hancock Park. I mean, talk about a poor person, right?
I don't know anything about this. I try not to read about poor people. It's just so depressing. But I just want to make sure she's okay. So I sent a text.
Yeah, well, it's obviously bad news.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if she knew that was coming. Yes, Kyle, it's one of the same lawsuits that's been going on for like 4 years now. I love it that Kyle just never pays attention to anything. This is not a new lawsuit. This lawsuit has been there, Kyle.
Hey, Zan. You want to send a text to Erica? It means you care. Because guess what? But you also have to say you don't care about any of this stuff because you're not materialistic about that kind of stuff. Like, you don't care about the money. All you care about is the person, which is why we only go to super exclusive parties. Okay. Okay. So text him. And so Kyle's like, yeah, okay. Well, I'm just like really worried. I'm just like so worried because like it seems like when she gets past one situation, another one pops up and then you hear numbers like this and you think like, what does that mean for her future? Like, forget emotionally, but financially, this is like a lot of weight to carry. And you know, I don't say that phrase lightly. I'm like, everyone has to really just calm down. Erica will be fine. She has a very robust singing career to fall back on, guys. It's okay.
Yeah. Someone said she's about to DJ at the New York State Fair. So yeah, she's killing it. So back to the table. Rachel's like, yeah, you guys, it's like fucked up. And so they're like, oh my God, what is she going to do? Now she has to pay for lawyers. Yeah, I still can't feel sorry for Erica. I'm sorry. I think Erica's having a good season. Erica's had a good past couple of seasons. And I would say probably one of the better reputation rehabs we've seen on these shows. She's doing a good job, but yeah, I still don't feel sorry for her. And justice for Marco.
Yeah. Xander, he's like, yeah, hey, we gotta go. We gotta like do something.
This has been really fun listening to like not 40-year-old gossip, but we gotta go. Sorry. By the way, do me a favor and add a D back to the end of my name. We're done here.
Oh my God. Like that's actually the new thing. The new thing, like when you're like abbreviating someone's name, is actually make it a little bit longer. So like now we call him Zandy. Yeah.
Good to meet you guys. Good to meet you guys. Quail. He had really soft hands. Oh. Xander, the one we were just speaking to. I'm sorry, I don't know Xander. Xander, the man who was right here, who's pretended to be 26 for a second.
I don't know who you mean. Oh, I'm sorry. Za? Do you mean Za?
Do you mean Rednaz? Yeah, the new thing is to say his name backwards.
But I even shortened that, so it's Redna.
Red. Just Red. Yeah, Red.
So what's your type, Dorit?
Red Robin.
Like, I don't think I have a type. I mean, if you look at a dinner roll and you open it up and you see the inside and you say, God, I'm fantasizing about what this looked like uncooked. Something like that.
Yeah, Dorit's like, PK is my type. Like, that's not a type, okay? Not PK. And then we see side-by-side images of PK and Xander, which is so cruel. Dorit goes, well, no, I don't have it. I don't have a type. I absolutely don't. And Rachel goes, well, no, you have a type. Like, let's see. Okay, guess what? You're like a secretary, and there's, like, something under your fingers, and paper comes out. It's a type. It's a typewriter. Okay, let's see who you hook up with next. And that's what you're trying to do. Okay, because I'm only attracted to my type, and I would 100% hook up with Brad Pitt right now. And then Dorit, really exposing herself, goes, ew!
She's like, oh my God, ew, what are you talking about? Brad Pitt, are you okay? He's Brad Pitt. I don't read any headlines unless they have to do with Erica. Like, I have no idea about any abuse stories about Brad Pitt. So, like, he's still really hot to me. Listen, if you want to just think people are hot forever, just don't read the news. That's the trick.
Well, it is kind of the trick.
It is. I mean, I know, but I just love that it's all going above Rachel's head. Like, why wouldn't anybody Why would anybody dislike Brad Pitt? You know, she doesn't get it at all. And Drea's like, oh, I can't. The man needs some Pringles or something.
See, Dreets, like, I told, listen, we can roll together because we will never go for the same guy. I love that. Like, I have free reign over Zend, apparently. And she's like, oh, I love it. No, I really don't have a type. It's an energy thing for me. Charm, charisma, swag, slothness. Likes to come up with stories about why we're hiding Boy George behind a curtain. So we tell people that there's black mold in the house.
Somebody
things like that.
Win a strongman competition. I don't want to see someone get a big hammer and hit a little weight until it goes up and dings a bell. A strongman competition to me is put a blood pressure monitor on them and watch that thing explode. You know what I'm saying, ladies?
My mother always said, don't marry the best looking man in the room. And I took that advice to heart. And look where it's gotten
me.
We've
been watching this show, girl. And that didn't work either. And that's what I always tell people. I mean, one of my best friends was like, I'm going to start dating ugly guys. And I said, don't. They're dicks, too. Guys aren't just suddenly, like, great because, we're not hot. Like, that's just not how it works. I mean, you might as well date a hot one if they're going to be an asshole anyway.
Yeah. There's just no luck. So then Kyle's like, hey, Rachel, remember how you said that you like texted Erica because that like you really care about her? Guess what? I FaceTimed her earlier. I guess I just did it like a little bit better. But anyway, I FaceTimed Erica and she like went to Amanda's event and I guess Sutton and Amanda got into like a fight or something like that. And like, I guess Sutton said to Amanda, like, you need to take accountability for your own thoughts instead of like trying to put it onto Kyle. And now you've like created an argument between Kyle and Dorit. So like, that's what happened. Right, guys?
Shut.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm still talking to Dorit. I can't believe that about Brad Pitt. Like, seriously?
Well, I give Sutton a lot of credit because this year she's chicked in and she's really standing up for me and Coyle. So I like her now.
And Rachel's like, well, I told you. She came to my house and she was like saying on, like, she needs to work on how she reacts to things because it's like her reaction.
So Dorit says that Dorit says that she and Dorit have made big strides, but she's also made big strides with Sutton and she's really excited about their evolving friendship and it seems to be going in the right direction. So Rachel goes, guys, I'm not saying you would have gone to Amanda's event, but like, it's weird that you weren't invited, Dorit. And she's like, no, but look, I'm a very easy person. Famously, that's what everyone always says about me. I'm very easy. So I don't even have an adverse reaction to, like, not even being invited, you know? You're, like, a little adverse. You're sort of like Zan around uncool people. Just, like, a little averse.
Yeah, you're just averse. A little. You are. You're averse.
But I literally care more about the fucking hangnail than I do about this situation.
And I was like, well, how would you be with her in a group then? I mean, just out of curiosity.
I'd be great. I'd be cool. That's how I'd be. I'd be cool till I'd say, hello, Amanda. How are you? Did you talk about me today? Then my divorce.
If you were truly unbothered by something, you wouldn't even think about it. But the fact that she's worked up about it, comparing it to a hangnail, means that you're a little bothered by it. Maybe a lot. That's Kyle doing her thing when she's making a point in her confessional. She like rattles her head every time she like gets to a syllable. So she's like, gotcha. So Rachel goes, girls. That was a three-girl alarm, because guess what? We're going to go dance. Let's dance with Xander at Surf Lodge to his music. Okay, let's dance, because the night is like not even
it
close
is.
To
it's still
ours.
Daylight out there, and you guys are going to be in bed in an hour. But who are you kidding?
No, it's not. Like, look, you're free to go home whenever, but I'm, like, not letting you. Like, hang out with me. It's going to be so fun. Hot girl summer, guys.
So now we go to Madre. Madre. It's got an exclamation point at the end. I just love that. It's like, Madre!
And people arrive. So it's Sutton and Erica sit at a table. And Erica's like, hey, Sparkles. And Sutton's like, well. Okay, well, is that a nickname for me now? Okay, well, it's a rare occasion on having a Saturday night out. Can you imagine using an entire Saturday night out in the summer to come to a restaurant on Fairfax Avenue? Wow.
Are we in a different country?
That's thrilling.
Where are we? This is crazy. I'm afraid someone's going to start my car on fire to keep warm. Can we just move this along?
I'm wearing an Erica dress today, which means
I saw
slutty.
Someone cooking
so
a hot dog over a trash can. Can we just...
I see that there's a blue bottle across the street, but it's an actual just broken blue bottle. It's very sad.
So they start talking about the last time they saw Denise. And Erica's like,
oh, about a year ago, because it was on TV, so I had to go. So I sent her a text when everything happened, though, because that's what you do.
And Sutton's like, oh, I did too. I said, sending you a hug. And then I unsent it. But I think it went through anyway. And then I said, sending you a hug. And I made the text go like, ooh. You know how you can do now? And so I think that was a little more loving. I almost called her, but then I couldn't do it. So I unsent the text again, and I said, sending a hug. You know how you can do it? It just jumps out at you, text.
Hey, who are you texting? I'm trying to text Sutton Strack to see if she'll come back. So Denise shows up, and they're like, oh, I love Denise. How are you doing?
She's Denise. This whole thing is such a fucking bummer, man. And we recapped the Denise show, so we watched all the episodes of Denise's and Aaron's show. And I just feel, like, terrible that I didn't see this coming. I was like, wow, they seem so happy.
Yeah. I was also bamboozled by it quite a bit, which is, I guess, how these things happen, though, truthfully. So she comes in, and first she starts talking about her plastic surgery. She got, like, a facelift and everything, and she got it done 6 weeks ago, which I think was detailed on the show, if I remember correctly. And she talked about how she got her boobs done, and then Sun's telling us, she's like, I've had zero plastic surgery. Zero. Okay? And you know that's true because you can see my face move when I say zero. But when I first moved to Beverly Hills, it was all boobs and all lips. And that is not what I look like. So I gave it gave me sort of an inferiority complex. Is that like, am I supposed to be looking like that? Is that what I'm supposed to do? I'm like, unfortunately, Sutton, that is probably your future at some point.
I decided that instead of using a mirror for a mirror, I would use my Bank of America app. And then I felt much better. Much, much better. I think Sutton looks great. I don't think she needs a damn thing done to her.
Of course not. Yeah. But I just worry that she's, like, gonna cater to it all. Although, as long as she has Reba there, Reba will be like, what are you doing to your face?
What's the matter? You don't want to look like this? I'll be back. I'll be back, mother. going to the doctor. But, no, I think Sutton looks great. It is very rare to meet somebody, especially there, who's never had anything done. I mean, in general, right? Yeah. I was watching Celebrity UK, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is such a different celebrity culture because everybody doesn't have their faces all tweaked and blown up and done different.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for you. It's bravery. It is bravery. So
you get used to it. You get used to it in L.A. I remember when I first moved to L.A., I was also shocked by the amount of plastic surgery. It used to be growing up, if you saw someone who had like a nose job or anything, it was like, whoa. But also growing up, whenever if I saw someone with a tattoo, I was like, whoa. But now it's become so much more commonplace, not just in L.A., but also just in American culture.
It's just more normalized.
Tattoos and it is more normalized. But especially like in L.A., it's really, really normalized where I'm like, okay. And I think also, honestly, for Bravo viewers, like the fact that we can just sort of be like, oh, look, there's Larsa Pippen.
Yeah.
You know, like we're unfazed by it
well,
now.
Well, I was going to say, you go to L.A. and you think it's bad, and then you come to Miami. Wow.
I know.
Whoa.
Everyone looks like that flying thing that Bowser's in Super Mario World.
It's not even
World.
Like a, hey, I'm going to make myself, you know, I'm going to do a couple little tweaks here and there. It's like, okay, what from Home Depot can we melt and put inside of, just change me. Make me look completely, I want to look like anime. Just make me look like anime. I mean, it's bold.
Everyone just looks like circles within circles. Like eyes are circles, lips are circles, noses are circles, faces are circles. Just circles and circles
like
and
those
circles.
Modern lights that they hang everywhere now that are big circles. You know, just like a circle on top of a circle on top of
everything.
A circle. So Sutton, so Erica's like,
yeah, well, I didn't like how my neck was looking. It wasn't youthful. So I was like, if I could do something about it, I'm going to do it. You know, inject as many peptides, fucking hormones, do filler, Botox, Sculptra, but nothing beats a needle in a thread, girl. Just rip it off, put it back on.
It's true. I mean, I should say it's, but I'm not so much it's true, but more like it's true. Like, you know what? Like, whatever. Do it. It's not that big of a deal. So as much as we're saying this, like, oh my God, normalize. The truth is, if you want, if like you're allowed to do things to make yourself look better.
People get changed their haircuts. I'm all into it now. I remember when we first started talking about these shows and it was like, you know, it's youth. When you're like, oh, I don't need that. I would never do that. I'm just going to be happy with my, you know, but then you do start to need it and you're like, oh,
What can you do with my neck?
Can you just get a chip clip? I do it sometimes with chip clips. Just put chip clips, and I'm like, just cut here. So I'm gonna. That's how I'm gonna go to the doctor. All right, I've chip clipped my perfect face. Now just go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. Then Denise is saying like, oh, well, it's nice that you guys are getting along. And Eric's saying, you know, without the vodka, Sutton is fun. I'm like, for you, maybe. Maybe for you.
Well, she's reasonable. She's not reactive. And as a result, our friendship has improved. It's actually fun. And I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm like, yeah, let's bring back the other
and
one.
And Denise is.
Because guess what? You're boring. Because
Denise is like,
hey, lady. Well, it's good to see you two are getting along. So that's good to see.
She's like, yeah, we are actually kind of getting along. She's like, yeah, because it's not a drunk anymore.
Yeah, and time. You know, time helps.
Time and understanding.
Okay, whatever. I had to understand the reality of my own life, which is that Sutton's a cranky old bitch, and I hate her. And once I got past that, I could be a friend again.
Sutton's like, me too.
Yeah, thanks. So then basically Erica starts talking about, like, she's got her court cases going on, you know, and like, yeah, that's draining. They're kind of like... they're sort of getting stuff out of the way before they can really dive into the conversation. And so Erica's saying,
yeah, I'm being sued by Tom's bankruptcy trustees, but both his personal bankruptcy and the Gerardo Keyes bankruptcy trustees. And this is designed to break me, designed to drive me into bankruptcy, designed to be annoying and to make an example and to punish me. And nothing about this feels good.
Yeah, so Denise is talking about, you know, like, I get that because people really don't understand what's going on behind closed doors, you know? And she's like,
zero. Okay, well, let's talk about it.
So they start talking about Denise's abuse stuff and the black eye, because there was a black eye photo that came out, and it's bad. They show it again here. It's really bad. And Erica's like, yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and say right now that's obviously not a one-time thing. And Denise is like, no, it wasn't. So they ask her when it started. And Denise said it started a while ago, but it was kind of a slow burn to, you know, it was like a ramp up, basically. It got worse and worse. And when she told her dad about it, he said, why didn't you say something? And she said, you know, I can't say something to you and then stay with the guy. Like, that's not how it works, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she kept it a secret.
Yeah. And then she tells this terrible story about after her facelift. She was under anesthesia for all this time. She had a drain and all this stuff. And he helped her to the bathroom. And he, like, while she was sitting on the toilet, he basically, like, hit her. And, like, and it's like, wow, like, after surgery, like, you literally, you fucking monster, you know? It's just, like... it's terrible.
Yeah, this is really bad. Her drain hit, like, came out and hit the toilet paper thing, and she was like, this is when I knew, like, this is just, it's gotten so out of hand, like, there's no saving this. And Erica is like, so what happened then on the 4th? And then we see another headline that says Denise Richards details fight with Aaron on July 4th, their date of separation. And she's saying it was awful. He hit me again right after a facelift. And she said, so I filed a restraining order, and that's why we're getting a divorce. And I told she jokes. She's like, I told Charlie he's making him look like a saint. She kind of laughs. And this is just fucking terrible. What a vile piece of shit this guy is. Oh, my God.
Yeah, seriously. And, you know, Erica's saying, you know, I want you to know that I only wanted what was best for you, you know. And she says, Denise is saying it's a lonely feeling and everything. And, you know, Erica's saying, I know it's, like, very isolating. And but then Erica she suddenly reveals that she also went through some abuse. And she said it wasn't one of her husbands, but it was someone actually recently. But she's not going to – she doesn't say who it is.
Yeah, she says that she met some guy that she was hooking up with, and a few months later it turned into chaos. And she's like, you know, Sutton, do you have a question? Because we're good, so you might as well ask it now. Because Sutton's like, you know, Sutton's giving that look. And she goes, well, I was just going to say, you know, you mentioned it happened to you, so what was that? And so Erica talks about her stuff a little bit, but does, you know, like you said, doesn't tell us who it was. And Sutton's like, oh my God, she's so strong. And this whole scene was just sad. It was like one sad thing on another one, on top of another one, on top of another one. But it was nice to see them all, well, you know, kind of, yeah.
Bonding. And it also is a very sad acknowledgement that this happens
no matter
to a lot
are,
of people.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You can get sucked into it. I mean, that's why it's interesting that they put it on the same episode, and it was probably intentional. They put it the same episode where Amanda talks about being in a cult, because people can wind up being lured into toxic, dangerous situations. And it doesn't matter how smart you are or how quote-unquote strong you are. You know, these things happen to everyone, you know, across the spectrum.
Yeah.
You
know? Wow. Bummer.
It's terrible.
Total bummer. But, you know, it doesn't. It's not always just jokes. What are you going to do?
Not
always
jokes.
I love Denise back.
And Aaron
just opens the door at all for Denise to come back.
I would be totally down for Denise to come back. That would be good. I think maybe it would.
Yeah, she kind of knows how it works now. You know, she doesn't have Rena there coming for her. I would like to see it.
Yeah.
But time will tell, everybody. So that's it. Go time grab tickets tell. For the Crappies next Friday, 1 week from today. Oh, my God. Coming up, go get a watchwhatcrappens.com, also where you get live streaming tickets. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors...
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.